Do you dread getting up on Sunday morning? There's only one Sunday morning that I have a hard time getting up, and that's the first Sunday of daylight savings time. That one's tough. But, you know, sometimes, especially if it's cold outside, you want to just lay there, don't you? You worked hard all week. Maybe you were up late Saturday night, and then you have things to do Monday morning, bright and early, and you're going to have to hit it hard. And Sunday school starts in 1 hour. Oh, I'm so sleepy. I don't feel like getting up right now. It's okay if I miss Sunday school this morning. I'll get ready and I'll be there for worship. It's a cold, rainy Sunday afternoon. The kids are down for a nap. They're quiet. It's wonderful. But it's already 4:30. Where does the time go? I just don't dare disturb that baby sleeping. We'll just have to miss tonight. You've been really hitting it at work all week long. And you're home from a hard day, and it's 6 o'clock on Wednesday night, and you're tired and a little cranky, and you're hungry, and you're ready for a rest. But church starts at 7. I just don't feel like going tonight. Let's see what's on TV. It was a cold night. People were everywhere, and he just did not fit in with them. But he felt compelled to be there. Hey, don't I know you? No, I think you got me mixed up with someone else. And he moves over to the fire to warm up a bit. Another person notices him and says, hey, aren't you one of those guys we've seen around the city with that preacher? Not me, he says. I don't even know that man. And then another person speaks up and says, wait, you're one of his followers. You even talk like him. Blankety blank, I'm telling you, I don't know the man. And the rooster crowed. And Peter says, I will not deny you. But he did. And so do you when you skip church. And so do you deny Jesus when you skip church. Peter had a whole lot better reason to deny the Lord. His life was at risk. He was in danger of being crucified with Jesus in his mind. So he had a strong motivation. Even though he'd been following Jesus and swore to his Lord, I will die before I will deny you. And yet when it came right down to it, he denied Jesus, didn't he? And before we're too hard on Peter, we better take a good hard look at ourselves. When it comes down to faithfulness or a lack of faith. When it comes down to commitment and loyalty to God or putting me and my convenience and my preferences first. It's the difference in the attitude. You can have the attitude, we've got to go to church, or you can have the attitude, we get to go to church. Deciding not to attend any church service can easily lead to a dangerous downward spiral. And it may begin by not coming on a particular Wednesday evening Bible class, and then it can progress to not coming to Sunday school or not coming to the Sunday PM service. And it's you know, even long-time church members can find themselves being seen only at Sunday morning worship, and often they're late to that. Not a one of us would live our life like that. Nobody in this room would live your life like that. You wouldn't do it. Let me explain what I mean. Let's say it's really cold outside, and I'm talking too cold to go to church. Is it too cold for the fireman to come and put out the fire at your burning house? Is it too cold for the ambulance driver to deliver a sick person to the hospital, or for the doctor to get out of bed and go to work at the emergency room? Is it too cold for the police to stop a violent crime, or to help someone stranded on the highway? Is it too cold for our military serving in some Arctic climate? Is it too cold for you to go to work, even if you have to work outside? Is it too cold for a faithful Christian to attend worship services? Something to think about. Now, we got a lot of sick people at Tanner. We have a lot of shut-ins, truly shut in. We have a lot of folks that have chronic illnesses. Some are in pain almost constantly. And it's amazing how much suffering there is among a lot of people in this very congregation. And that is not to be minimized, and that's not to be ignored. And certainly I'm not talking to people who legitimately cannot get out and go anywhere. They're too sick to go anywhere or to do anything. And if that's the case, you're too sick to come to church for sure. If you're too sick to get out and go anywhere and do anything, you're too sick to come to church. And you know, that's God understands that. We know God understands that. You know, we've had a phrase that's been floating around in the brotherhood for years called providentially hindered. Yeah. That's kind of an unbiblical concept. Providentially, that means that God hindered you from coming to church. Now, we do know that God providentially hindered Paul from going to a place he was planning to go. He sent him a vision and said, come over here to Macedonia and help us. God providentially hindered Paul from going where he was planning to go. But to say that God would providentially hinder you from obeying a commandment, that's just not biblical. No, but there are times when you can't get to church. We understand that. And more importantly, God understands that. You know, your work shift is such that you have to be at work. You have to provide for your family. That's one reason why we make sure that there's a Sunday night service. That's one reason why we make sure that there are other opportunities. But, you know, there are times when somebody can't get to church. They're on their way to services and their car breaks down and they can't get a ride. They're stuck. Okay, fine. Or you're home and you can't seem to get out of bed. Okay, yeah. You know God understands that. At least you hope He does. But if it's okay for you to get up and go to the beauty shop, or if it's okay for you to get up and go to Walmart, or to go out and eat later that day, you have to ask yourself an honest question. Was I really too sick or too hindered to go to church? You have to be honest about this. See, if you can go out and eat, then you can come to church. If you can go to the gym, then you can come to church. If you're able to go to work, then you can come to church. It's time to be honest. We don't see well enough to get out at night. That's a legitimate concern. Don't need you running off the road or causing a traffic accident. But we have a very comfortable shuttle bus that was provided for your assistance to help you. We've got people that are qualified drivers that enjoy being able to come around and pick folks up. Oh, I don't want to trouble anyone. If you were in danger, you would trouble everyone. Yes? Yes, you would. So that's not a good reason, folks. And when we choose to miss church assemblies, we're putting ourselves in danger. Do we know that? We're putting ourselves in danger when we choose to miss church assemblies. Where did anyone get the idea that attending church services was optional? Where did that come from? Let me tell you what God said. Let me put it this way. Did God tell us to assemble for worship? Did He tell us to study and to worship Him? Study His Word and worship Him? Hebrews 10:25? Yes. Did God tell us to rejoice together and weep together? Rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. Did God tell us this? Romans 12:15. Yes. Did God tell us to edify and build up one another? 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Yes, He did. And did God tell us to submit to one another? Well, listen. Ephesians 5:18-21. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another. Somebody had the nerve to say that is not about an assembly. give me a break. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. If you're too proud to submit, you're too proud to be a Christian. If you're too proud to have a submissive attitude toward your brothers and sisters, you're too proud to serve the Lord. And this submitting to one another is done in church assemblies. Did God say submit to your elders? Yes. Hebrews chapter 13, two verses, verse 7 and verse 17. He said, remember those who rule over you who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. And the other one is verse 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would not be profitable, or as the New King James says, that would be unprofitable for you. If your elders have to give account to God with grief about you, that means you're in big trouble. That means that you were lost. Let the elders give account for your soul with joy. That means you were saved. That means you're going to heaven. So obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so. Let them give account with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. Now, folks, let me make this plain. I love every one of you. I speak for Stan. I speak for Henry. We all three of us love every one of you. I speak for Melvis and Lamar and Harold, who have previously served as elders in this church. They love every one of you. Every one of you. And we all love you so much, we do not want you to be lost. We want you to go to heaven. We want to go to heaven. And we want you to go to heaven too. But unless you have reason to distrust your elders, either doctrinally or in their Christian walk, you must follow their lead. You must do this. This is a command of God that you must follow their lead. You must walk where they walk. You must do as they ask and tell you to do. It's not a matter of them being lords over you or bosses over you. That's not it at all. But as elder brothers who have a knowledge of God's Word, who teach God's Word, who have taught you God's Word, who know God's Word, they're trying to help you get to heaven. We must. This is a command of God. Just as much as taking the Lord's Supper is a command of God. Just as much as having faith in God is a command of God. You must follow their lead. This church is 100 years old. And for most of those years, there have been a body of men charged with overseeing or shepherding this congregation. A decision was made to worship each Sunday morning rather than Sunday afternoon or Sunday night. In addition, classes were established to meet on Sunday morning while the church was together for its period of worship. In some congregations, that assembly comes before the church assembly. In other congregations, it comes after the church assembly. We've done it both ways here at Tanner. The purpose, though, was to help with small group instruction in the Word of God, to give children a time of education at their age level. Instead of having to sit and listen to some adult, you know, some preacher preach, they could get classes at their own age level. But that's not all. Many years ago, a decision was made to meet on Sunday evening for a second worship assembly for the sake of the church. Not for the sake of the elders, not for the sake of necessity even, but for the sake of the church. To benefit the church, to help the church grow and become more than what they are, more than what they have been, more like Jesus. I realize that in many countries around the world, the church meets only once on Sunday. And they have their reasons, and we have ours. The USA is a very mobile country. Most all of us have vehicles, or we have access to transportation. And one, this is a country where there is excessive temptation to be like the world around us. Excessive temptation that is not as strong in many of these other countries. But here, we live in a cesspool of temptation, surrounded by evil on every side. We need all the help we can get. And you need more help than you think you do. Yeah. And I need more help than I think I do. At some point, a decision was made to meet on Wednesday night for Bible study and prayer. Some folks call that putting peak in your week. A mountaintop at the hump, at the top of the week on Wednesday. We put some peak in the week with something positive, something encouraging, some good Bible teaching, some good fellowship, some good times in prayer and being together. And that's the reason for that Wednesday night class that was done and set up by your elders many, many, many years ago. Because you see, life tends to wear us down. Life tends to make us conform to them. Life in this country tends to beat down our faith and weaken our spirit. And we need that boost like a booster shot when you go to the doctor. We need a lift. And so a midweek meeting of the church was planned. Let me just tell you, attending every worship service and every Bible class is vitally important to your spiritual growth, to the spiritual growth of every single Christian. No exception. No exception. So let me close this morning with five reasons to attend every assembly of the church. Feel free to write these down. They're going to come at you pretty fast. Number one, because worshiping God is transforming. Transforming. It helps us to become something more than what we are. Do you want to look like Jesus? Do you want to act like Jesus? When we became Christians, we were made a new creation in Christ. We became new creatures in Christ. But the spiritual transformation does not stop there. Paul would say that we must continue to transform through the renewing of our minds, Romans 12, verse 2. And one of the main ways of doing that is assembling with the saints, being together, studying and being challenged by God's Word, and growing as children of God. It's in worship that we're kept from an evil heart of unbelief, Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. It's while we're in worship that we can stir up love and good works within each other, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Worship is transforming, helping us to become more like Jesus. That's not all there is to it, but it's a significant part. Second, God's love compels us to worship Him. Are you thankful for your salvation? Are you thankful for what Jesus did for you on Calvary's cross? Are you thankful that God sent His Son to die for you and pay your sin debt so you don't have to burn in hell? Are you thankful for that? Love will compel us to worship. The attitude of we have to get up and go to worship is revolting. You see, you could ask, did Jesus act like that when it came to our salvation? Did He begrudgingly take upon Himself the crucifixion, or did He willingly, out of love for God and love for us, willingly give His life on the cross? Paul says that the love of Christ compels us. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. You know, when I think of the great love that God has shown to me, why wouldn't I want to worship Him every chance I get? Number three, We should meet with every assembly of the church because God's family is encouraging. We are instructed to build one another up in our most holy faith. We're instructed to build up and to do that which is good to the edifying of the body, the building up of the church. Have you ever heard the saying, you go into the world to get torn down, you come back home to be built up? This is your spiritual home on this earth. This is your spiritual home. This is where your body, your church body meets, your church family meets. This is your spiritual home. It's not the address where you live. That's not your spiritual home. This is it, right here, at this facility on Huntsville Browns Ferry Road. This is home, away from home, heaven. This is home. Why wouldn't you, when you get tired, why wouldn't you want to come home? Why wouldn't you want to be at home? It works that way with our spiritual family. When we go out into the world, we deal with rejection. We deal with hatred and loneliness, hopelessness, despair, despondency. We deal with temptation of every kind. But when we come to worship, we are encouraged by people who genuinely love and care about us. Don't be deceived. Every Christian needs constant encouragement. The first century family in the early days of the church met together every single day in Jerusalem, didn't they? They surely did. We need to be together more often. And Sunday morning for the 1 hour from 10:30 to 11:30 or 11:32 or whatever, that's just not enough. We need more. Number one, God's worship is transforming. Number two, God's love compels us. Number three, God's family is encouraging. Number four, God's children are hungering. Your being here is a benefit to the rest of us. Did you know that? I mean, what we can do for you may be great, may not be so great, but what you can do for us is great. Your being here is an encouragement to people that are hungering for fellowship, hungering for closeness with God's people. One of the greatest marks of being a Christian is a hungering desire for God and God's Word. Jesus said His kingdom would be made up of people who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Matthew 5:6. Peter said that we are to be people who yearn for the Word of God like newborn babes yearn for milk. 1 Peter 2:2. And you know how often kids get hungry, don't you? Seem like every minute of every day they're hungry. We need to be that way. We need to be hungry for the Word of God with an insatiable appetite for God's Word, but also for fellowship with God's people, to take every opportunity. No, I don't take it lightly. Take it seriously. Every opportunity to be together, to enjoy fellowship, to enjoy worship, to enjoy times like we're having right now, like we'll have at 5 with these children and worship assembly and the party afterwards. Being with God's people is so wonderful. And so many are just missing out because they're not taking it seriously. They're failing to see the opportunities that are in front of them. We need that hunger for worshiping God. And if we don't have that hunger, then according to 2 Corinthians 13:5, we need to do some serious soul searching. We need to do a strong heart examination to test our faith and see, just are we really children of God or are we not? And the last reason, and one of the most scary things, God's enemy is prowling. God's enemy is on the move. He's going from your house to my house to the house next door. He's on the move and he's looking for a soul to steal, to quote Charlie Daniels. He's looking for a soul to steal. Satan never stops trying to open a door so that you can walk right into the flames of hell. He never stops trying. He is that like that lion that's constantly prowling and looking for the right opportunity to strike, 1 Peter 5:8. One of the ways he gets his foot in the door is when Christians are habitually missing assemblies of the church. I'm telling you what's going to happen is this downward spiral, cracks in your armor are going to appear, and he's going to stick a crowbar in, pry it open, and weasel his way right into your heart. And you're going to get to the point where you just don't care. Or you're going to be deceived into thinking it's just not that big a deal. It's just not that important. And what that means is that Satan has got a foot in the door of your heart. And that's a dangerous thing to let happen. Before you know it, what happens is you end up going back to your old ways of thinking and your old ways of living and the old attitudes that kept you away from God in the first place. Christians should attend every worship assembly, Sunday school, Sunday morning worship, Sunday night worship, Wednesday night Bible class. Christians should attend every opportunity that you have for fellowship, for enjoyment, for time of service and opportunities to do good. We need to be ready to every good work. And the easiest thing, and brothers, I'm closing with this. Sisters, I'm closing with this. The easiest thing for us to do in service to God is assemble with the saints. That's the easiest part of being a Christian. And if we can't do that, how can we think we're going to ever make it to heaven? How can we possibly think that we're going to make it past Judgment Day if we cannot even assemble together like we're supposed to? What makes us think that we're going to get to heaven? This is the easiest part of being a Christian. And so I want to encourage you, as Jesus said in Matthew 22:37, love the Lord your God. Love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. So which will it be for you from now on? We got to go to church, or we get to go to church? I want you to think about it. Know that I love you. I'm not mad at you, I promise. I just care about you, and I want you to be okay. If there's a way we can help you today, we want to do that. If you're not a Christian, we want to help you obey the gospel. Believe in Jesus enough to repent of sin, confess your faith in Him, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're already one of His people, but you've not been faithful, we want to encourage you to make your life right to Him, with Him, right now. If you need to come, we invite and encourage you to do so right now as we stand and as we sing.